We know that many congregations are putting together their budgets for the next fiscal year. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your congregation's mission or advertising budget for 2009. Simply go to the sponsors page of our website, issuesetc.org, and find out more about the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. You'll even find a one-page flyer that you can hand out. Thanks for your support.
What we've seen is a very substantial increase in the number of people who say they have no religion. That is, you ask them, what is your religion, if any, and they say none. So we call them nuns. None of the above.
That's the voice of Mark Silk recently on this program. His organization did some of this research that's making news all over the place and getting reaction all over the place on religious life in America. Over 50,000 people surveyed over the course of several months and a longer period of time, giving very accurate results. And the way that they asked their questions, narrowing down and kind of pinning people down to how they self-identify religiously in America. We're going to be talking here in a few minutes with Dr. Albert Moeller about that research and getting his insights into it. And then Pastor Stephen Parks will join us for the last half hour of the program this Friday afternoon, March the 13th, to talk about Sola Scriptura. He'll defend the teaching of Scripture, Sola Scriptura, against some of its opponents, some of its some objections that are often raised to it. Our call-in number 1-877-762-3-6943, 877-623-MY-IE, or TalkBack at issuesetc.org. Earlier today, I had an opportunity to talk with Dr. Albert Moeller, president of Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky. He's author of several books, including Culture Shift, Engaging Current Issues with Timeless Truths. We began our conversation. I asked, does this new information about the rise of the none of the aboves in religious terms, does it represent the door closed to evangelism or the door even wider open?
That's a great question, and it's probably a bit of both. I think what we are seeing here is the clear evidence of disappearance in terms of cultural Christianity. We're noticing that a 10% drop in 18 years in terms of the Americans who self-identify as Christians. You know, this doesn't measure the sincerity of the heart. This doesn't measure profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It just measures whether people identify as Christians or not. It certainly is significant that there's a 10% fall from 86% to 76%. But, you know, I prefer to see this as a real opening for evangelism because I think there's a significant gain when people know that they are not Christians. And I think one of the greatest obstacles to evangelism in the United States over the last several years has been the fact that so many people just assume they are Christians because they're Americans or because they have some kind of historic family tie to Christianity. The increasing secularization of this culture is making the issues far more clear, and the distinction between belief and unbelief is going to become far more apparent. And, you know, those of us who love the gospel know that that's a good thing if it compels us toward more bold and aggressive evangelism.
Has the you were speaking there really in terms of the culture. What about the church? Has the church failed to make that crucial distinction, assuming that people may be Christians because they're simply, you know, good, law-abiding American citizens living in a nation that has quite a bit of Christian capital invested in
it? You know, the defining of Christianity down in this culture, even especially within the precincts of American evangelicalism, it's really a sad testimony. And what we're seeing here is that, yes, that many churches have been fully complicit with this. Churches have preached an easy believism. Churches have preached, you know, a graceless, costless gospel. And the reason that many people are confused and now no longer see that they even need to identify as Christians is because the Christianity they came to know was not of a life-changing significance as the true gospel is. So there's a pretty severe indictment of the church here in terms of its influence.
What do you make of the rise of the unaffiliated Christian, that is the non-denominational Christian?
Well, you know, interestingly, when you look at the data, they're not only non-denominational, they're basically non-ecclesial. In other words, they're really not connected to churches. The New Testament does not know of a Lone Ranger Christianity. Now, the decline of the great brand names and denomination can be traced to any number of issues, But my bigger concern is that these people are claiming to be followers of Christ, but they are not involved in the church itself, and there just is not a precedent for that in the New Testament. Instead, the shape of discipleship in the New Testament is a churchly discipleship.
The temptation for the church at this point, as you well know, Dr. Moeller, will probably be, and I can even, as we speak, hear voices within my own Lutheran denomination calling for such a thing. We need to play down our doctrinal, our traditional, our historic distinctiveness, because America just can't swallow that anymore. And the only way we're going to reach people is if we knock the edges and the particulars off of our identity in the public square. I'm sure Baptists, you can hear Baptists saying the same thing, too.
Oh, absolutely, because in a world driven by a market mentality, we assume dangerously and tragically at times that what we need to do is to tailor everything we are and everything we do in order to reach as many people as a potential market as possible. But I would suggest that what this study should really impel us to see is that the converse is true. The opposite is actually the case, because when cultural Christianity disappears, it's because a secularized form of Christianity is unnecessary in a secularized world. This is a real opportunity for us, because those of us who love the gospel know that the gospel is the only message that saves. And when people come into a saving knowledge of Christ, when they come to profess Jesus Christ as Savior, they come to embrace the gospel, they're not going to just self-identify as Christians. They're going to live as Christians, think as Christians, hope and dream as Christians, you know, live and die as Christians. And for the gospel, that's a significant issue of clarity. You know, the last thing we need to do, first of all, just in terms of faithfulness to the gospel, and secondly, even in terms of the effectiveness of our message, is to dumb it down. We need to be very clear. This is what real Christianity looks like. It is different than what you're going to hear anywhere else in the world, and it's the difference between life and death.
Is this decline of cultural Christianity, I love the way you put that, I think that really puts the finger right upon what we're observing here in this research, is the decline of cultural Christianity just something that started 25, 30 years ago? How long has this been in the works in America?
You know, it really varies region by region. One of the interesting things you see in this data is that between 1990 and 2008, you really had what had been begun in, for instance, the Pacific Northwest and the American Northeast, you know, far more secular than other parts of the country. It's been spreading into the heartland, and there are all kinds of reasons for that: higher education and its influence, Hollywood and the cultural elites and their influence, the growing secularization of the culture. But it began in some places far earlier, but I can tell you it's a fairly recent development. I think that's what makes this study so fascinating. It documents what many of us have seen. Even in what had been called throughout the Midwest and the South the Bible Belt, you can now find very large pockets of fully secularized people, and the culture itself is becoming increasingly secularized before our eyes.
Should Christians necessarily mourn the decline or the disappearance of cultural Christianity?
Well, in the most important sense, no. We should not mourn it, because we would not want persons falsely to believe that they're Christians just because they're Americans, just because they live around Christians, just because their grandparents were Christians. There is a cost to it, however, and that is in terms of the culture and the shape of the culture. There is something to be gained by a culture that is shaped by a Christian memory. And what we're seeing now is what happens when that memory evaporates. And so we're going to be facing moral controversies, the likes of which we have not yet seen. We're going to be facing controversies that will land in many local churches that would never have been expected before, because the mentality and worldview of those within and without the church is tragically decreasingly shaped by the Christian truth claim.
It sounds like we're going to have to start seeing ourselves and our place in the world the way the apostles in the first century did.
You know, that's the boldness and the excitement in this. We find ourselves in a situation much like Rome in the first century when Paul wrote the book of Romans. We find ourselves much like the early church, dealing with a religiously diverse, spiritually confused, hedonistic, consumer market-driven culture like the Roman Empire in the first two or three centuries of the church's history. So when we look at it that way, we have to say we have been thrown right into the arena where the church belongs, and we have to see that as a great opportunity and stewardship.
Before we let you go, your thoughts on President Obama's announcement Monday this week on the freeing up of federal funding for embryonic stem cell research, about a minute and a half, Dr. Moeller.
I have to say, first of all, this is a compromise that opens the floodgates, that undermines the sanctity of every single human life. It's so easy to begin by denying the dignity and the sanctity of life of the microscopic embryo, but it will not stop there. This is a great tragedy. The other tragedy is that the president framed this as an issue in which supposedly science is now going to be freed from ideology. Science is never free from ideology. It's just the exchange of one set of principles for another, and we need to see it for what it is.
Folks, we have links to two articles written by Dr. Moeller on this new survey on American religious life at issuesetc.org. When you get there, just click on demand, issuesetc.org. Dr. Albert Moeller is president of Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky, author of several books, including Cultural Shift, Engaging Current Issues with Timeless Truths. Dr. Moeller, thank you very much.
I appreciate the work you guys are doing. Thanks again.
If you listen to Issues, Etc. for any amount of time, you've probably noticed that we endeavor to be as timely as possible with these kind of topics. We don't let a lot of grass grow under our feet. When there's a survey like this, we want to respond to it as quickly as we can, and as thoroughly as we can. The likes of Dr. Albert Moeller, few are better at responding to this kind of cultural and religious shift in America than guests like him. And we bring this to you on a daily basis here on Issues, Etc. If you appreciate the timely nature of our response to issues, both social, moral, cultural, and theological, here on Issues, Etc., consider supporting Issues, Etc. with a gift of any size, a gift of any size between now and Easter. We will send you a CD set that has two of my sermons, one for Lent and one for Easter, as a way of thanking you. You can donate online at our website, issuesetc.org. issuesetc.org, or you can always send your check to and make it out to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois 62234.
Now, only our listeners can cancel us. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Historic liturgy, cool. Liturgical dance, not cool. Kneeling for the Lord's body and blood on a Sunday morning, cool. Sitting in your theater-style seat with couple if you're a double mocha latte, not cool. We're the Brothers of John the Steadfast. If you're interested in traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice, check us out. www.steadfastlutherans.com.
You are my soul.
Evolution, it's actually a religion.
Answers with Ken Ham, one of the editors and writers for Answers Magazine.
Imagine this situation. A pastor who believes in evolution preaches this message in his church. People, look at the Israelites. God took them through the Red Sea. He gave them manna from heaven. He provided water from a rock. He broke down the walls of Jericho. He warned them not to forget who the real God is. He told the Israelites not to take the pagan gods into their households. The pastor then says that despite all the wonderful things God did for his people, they disobeyed him and accepted the pagan religions. How could they have been so blind? But you know, many Christians today really do the same thing when they say there's no problem believing in evolution and the Bible. They're being just like the Israelites. Today, many pastors, like the one I referred to above, have compromised in the same way as the Israelites, and they can't see it. They've taken the pagan religion of evolution and millions of years and used it as the authority to reinterpret God's word. You know, they need to repent of their compromise and get back to believing the Bible.
Today's the last day we're offering Ken Ham's co-authored book, War of the Worldviews. It will equip you to answer some of the major social issues of our day, such as gay marriage, abortion, racism, and so much more. Just offer us a gift of any amount today when you call toll-free 1-888-89-ANSWERS. That's 1-888-89-ANSWERS. Or on the web, answersoffer.org.